Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com.
Nick Sorensen played 131 games in the NFL over 10 years with the St. Louis Rams, Jaguars, Browns. His nickname when he was a player was Sunshine, for the character in Remember the Titans. He said, I don't know, I just look like him. And then he said, I also get the lead singer from Incubus, Brandon Boyd.
Val Kilmer.
See, you know that there's an Incubus reference. Superfan Studs is going to be all over.
Why? Well, I had to get that one for him because I was watching the game. I was like, Incubus reference, let's go.
And I was watching the Manning cast, so I wouldn't have heard it.
Look, at some point, we do need to have a conversation about what happened with Peyton Manning and Bill Belichick yesterday. Because you want to talk about sexy football. That was some sexy football. Those guys were at different telestrators at different points, breaking down plays together. Oh, Blanche Devereaux, Jif. Woo! That's some sexy football.
This has not been sexy football in the actual NFL so far.
No.
And I didn't know that the numbers were quite this stark, but this is our old friend Ray Ratto.
Ray Ratto! Hey,
he says that the people in charge of football kept talking about the complicated new kickoff rule and what a shiny new toy it was and how it'll make the kickoff a dramatic and entertaining play again. And then they gave you nearly twice as many field goals, 68, as touchdown passes, 35, not including the 71-yard attempt that Mike McCarthy nearly gifted the world at halftime of Sunday's Cowboys-Browns Inertia Fest. Put simply, this was the worst opening weekend for the NFL passing game since 2006. He said that is back when Bill Belichick still didn't do interviews in nearly two decades before he reshaped himself into a more overexposed and somehow even more desperately approval-seeking version of Jimmy Fallon. So there's a stray in there for Bill Belichick. Is it a trend? It depends how you define a trend.
There were a bunch of rookies out there, too.
Passing touchdowns, the principal highlight of the NFL, are down 10% from their zenith 5 years ago, and give every indication of continuing that trend. Field goals, similarly, are up. Only 6 of 74 attempted field goals were missed.
And 21 of 23 from 50 or farther.
Yep. He said, this looks like a more comforting fallback position for coaches than in years past. Defenses have now caught up to and perhaps passed offenses tactically. Quarterbacks are now valued less by how much they command a game than by how much time they have left on their rookie contracts. And now that running backs are contractually devalued, they're getting more work at any time since Don Shula roamed the earth. And then we get into the whys of this. Find the why. Is it the short supply of ready-made quarterbacks because of the gap between college and pro skills? Is it the lurch toward cleverer defensive schemes and players, which is easier to accomplish than minting a new offensive innovation? The lack of an alternate Mahomes, which is unavoidable? The admiration of the Shanahan theorem, that if you don't have an elite quarterback, you can use running backs to make the quarterback you have elite? And are coaches trusting their employees less and are willing to settle for three?
I think the rookie thing is important. Like if I don't want to make any pronouncements after week one, but there were a bunch of rookies who played. There was also in Jacoby Brissett and his team won, you had a quarterback that is probably replacement level or maybe a little bit above replacement level in him starting. You also had hurt guys playing. I'm not convinced that Joe Burrow is 100%, and I know for a fact that Kirk Cousins isn't 100%.
There has been a breakdown of Kirk Cousins' back foot, not even planting, of him leaning over, not able to drive a throw, not able to plant and drive.
Well, and there was a good breakdown of what the Falcons look like running the ball out of shotgun versus them running out of pistol.
Mm-hmm.
And that I don't think they ran any run plays out of shotgun because he can't move. Like, it's the struggle is real. It's
this is before the injuries. Think about this. We usually talk about bad quarterbacking in December. That's common.
That's the other part of this too. Like, it's, I guess you can call Russ and Justin 1A and 1B in Pittsburgh, but those are two quarterbacks that the league assessed as not valuable, and one of them was going to start that game. So I do think that they're inside of there's a lot to go, hey, why is the quarterbacking so bad? I don't think that it's necessary, and Anthony Richardson coming back. So there's another guy coming off of injury with not a ton of experience that was quarterbacking in Indianapolis. So you got a bunch of guys with not even a full season of starts that were starting. Sam Darnold is out there starting. He was really good, by the way. But yeah,
he was
very good, which, you know, I don't know if that's sustainable, but I think Kevin O'Connell is pretty good. And I think that if you give him just a little bit of good quarterbacking, his teams can win. Something to keep in mind, and let's see where the Bears don't have to worry about them until, what, week 11? So, but it's something to pay attention to inside of the NFC North.
I'm trying to be mindful of this. And look, this is small sample size stuff. It clearly is.
Absolutely.
It's 1 week. They don't really practice. This is, when you go to 18, 20 games, wherever this thing is going, some of these early games are going to become an extended preseason. And I know we talked about the collegiate nature of it and how it feels that way. And maybe that's why that we've got
this. Daniel Jones is still out there. Uh-huh. Stinky bad.
And rich. But maybe that's why some of the schedule makers have looked at some of these divisional games further on. Now, you're going to run into the fact that you're going to have backup quarterbacks down there. But think about it. What if the Bears finally got their guy at a time where the larger secular forces are making it harder to be great? Would that just be dumb luck as Bears fans?
I'm not worried about that, because if he is great, then he'll find his way.
Yeah, no, I get it.
But you look around and there aren't a lot of... You've got Rodgers, still probably not 100%.
Oh, definitely not.
You've got,
or any, if he is, what is 100% for 40 coming off that injury?
Sure.
As close to whatever he is.
You've got Kirk Cousins out there limping around. The middle class quarterbacks, and I think there are a couple of them. I think that Brock Purdy is one of those. And I think that he's pretty good, by the way. But I think he's not where you're talking about the greats in the game. He had some throws yesterday. They're just like, what are you doing? Baker Mayfield is having a nice little renaissance. But there is a there's back to being a middle class now of quarterbacks. Derek Carr, who was great. Another one of those middle class quarterbacks. But look who's starting games. Gardner Minshew was starting in Las Vegas for Luke Getsy's offense. I think that the point about the top tier talent is a really valid one, but I also think that there were a lot of young guys. But if you look at the guys that are great around the league, they performed. Mahomes performed. Lamar performed. C.J. Stroud performed. He was really, really good.
He is really good.
Jalen Hurts performed, even though it was clunky early in that game. Until he got hurt, Jordan Love performed. So, and that's enough. Next week's going to be the same because now you've got Malik Willis starting. The injuries are already starting to take hold of the quarterback position overall. And the rookies are going to rookie. That's why I wanted to make sure that people understood that there is a siloing that happens when you cover an NFL team. When teams go to training camp, it's not impossible, but it's pretty difficult for them, for reporters to cover the entire league's camps because they're focused on all the stories that they're writing in their particular camp. And when you're watching the ones of the Bears offense versus the ones of the Bears defense, and you go, oh, Caleb's made improvement in the way that he's handling the Bears defense and the looks that they're showing him each day. In Washington, the same thing is going on. In Denver, the same thing is going on. In New Orleans, the same thing is going on. In New England, the same thing is going on. So the stories that you'll see about all of those young quarterbacks is, this quarterback is getting better. How do you know? Well, they've gotten better playing against the same defense that they see every single day. And then they get out against a team that's actually game planning for them. And you go, oh, there's still a lot to learn by these young guys.
Well, we also know that some of these rookies are going to be bad. They just are. Some will massively underperform. And you'd think with all the work that's been done, all of this, the steel sharpening steel or iron sharpening iron, we've been through that debating the history of that idiom. But it's making sure, this is where the trust in Eberflus is. And I think you've talked about this too, about reverse engineering coaching and saying, learn from what the Titans did and show them. Show them. Show them on the field with your guys. You can practice your own stuff, and I know you're going to run the other team's stuff in scout, but he's not playing scout team. That's not his job. He's not running scout team. So I don't know how if you have enough reps in the day, if you got enough time to do everything you need, but that's where a defensive coach can say, I want you to be ready. Here's how I would game plan you. Also want to mention that Ian Happ is going to switch times. Ian Happ, we had him scheduled for 11:25. He is moving to 12:25 at this point. But I hope that overall Caleb Williams and this whole class haven't come along at a time that where it so happens the quarterbacking is much more difficult than ever. Because it is a pendular league. And if defenses are winning now more, do we change our standards? I mean, we saw 4,000 yards, 3,800 yards. He's going to have, well, we know that that's not going to happen.
It makes it difficult when your first game is 90 yards. And there's still a lot of time, but we still have to figure out the thing that we were wondering when the hire was made. Is Shane Waldron any good?
I don't know. I know a lot of people in Seattle say he wasn't.
There are people think that sometimes his offense was a little too side to side and it wasn't getting vertical enough. And I have some questions about the grouping, the personnel groupings that they had out there, and whether or not, you know, that they put their best group of players on the field for Caleb Williams to work with.
Well, I think that a properly coached team is going to assess that. And they're going to ask the same questions we're asking, because something has to change with the offensive efficiency. We know it. And I don't know if it's personnel. I don't know if it's just shaking off some of the rust from a lack of reps. I don't know.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing this week. I'm looking forward to seeing CJ Stroud.
Yeah, I'm not, actually. This is I think
I like to see good quarterback.
Yeah, but I think they're in tough. I really do. I think the Bears are in tough.
Think about it this way, Dan. You mentally prepare yourself. This is not a game they're supposed to win.
Correct.
Recognize that going in.
Yes.
And the outcome won't shock you that way. Just be shocked if they win. But there you go.
If they win, then it's Yaha time.
Exactly. See, thank like yeah, sometimes like I've been doing this a long time, obviously. When it comes to just being a Bears fan, sometimes you just got to mentally prepare yourself ahead of time. Like, look, they're not supposed to win this game. So don't be shocked if they get their asses kicked.
See, you ever think of going live on a video studs right before kickoff and doing this?
Just reminding everybody?
I feel like I need to sometimes. Bears Twitter gets so angsty.
Oh, come on.
It's crazy.
The truth is, I'm part of it.
I'm the only one sitting there like, guys, sit back, relax, put on Red Zone for a few minutes, and we'll come back in the second half and get ready to go.
I have to point the thumb on that one because I need that. Sundays are my day to let go of my more critical side. That's why the whole process works. And I gather myself before I write the post-game column. I try not to be too emotional, but during the game, the one thing I didn't scream was tackle. Usually I'm screaming that. They did tackle well.
The guy who was doing all the tackling is going to be on our show at noon.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is every Tuesday at noon, in fact. But it is I have to take the blame for being stupid on Bears Twitter during Bears games.
You do?
I try to be the voice of reason on Bears Twitter.
Okay.
He kind of does.
Now we're taking it a step too far.
Go back and look at my tweets during the game on Sunday.
That is kind of true. I think outside of games, you could be the biggest fanboy meatball there is. Once the game starts, I blow right past you in that regard.
Hey, it's a fair assessment.
Well, if they do win the game, then we could play the celebrate good times, go Bears. Like, Ray can jump in with go Bears.
Don't steal Ray's bit now.
No, I'm just setting the bit up. If they were to win, I am very scared because of what I think they've got planned for young Caleb in this game.
What do you think they have planned?
I think they're going to show him all sorts of stuff pre-snap and then roll post-snap, and it's not going to look the same. They're not going to have Roma Dunze. I don't know if Keenan Allen is hurt or not.
Give him small windows too, and yeah.
Yeah.
And they gotta.
I think there's going to be a lot of stuff, a lot of flash bang that goes on, and he's going to have to deal with it.
773 texter says, I'm the most rational, and I'll kill anyone who says otherwise.
Exactly.
No, he's...
Bears meatball over here. Bears meatball over here.
Only in game day. Only in game
day. That doesn't mean that, like, off of Twitter, on my couch, it's not, like, a problem sometimes. Like, I just say, like, when it, like, I do try to be measured, but when things get exciting, like, I was doing a lot of yelling in the fourth quarter. I was very excited. You can ask my fiance. She was making fun of me a lot.
As she should.
And I told her I don't care. I'm excited. They're winning. They're going to win the game. This is great.
You're going to scare the cat.
I didn't scare the cat. I did a good job.
Scare the cat. Take him to Rainbow Cone.
I didn't say it like Farmio.
You did say it like Farmio.
He's going to scare the cat, and then Haitian immigrants come over, and they eat the cat, because that's what happens. Even though it's not true, but we're still going to push that narrative, because they eat your pets, and then they go to Rainbow Cone.
Rainbow Cone.
Rainbow Cone. When we come back, let's talk about what happened in Miami, and what, as every bit of video gets out, that we're learning more about what happened, what could have happened, and how we're still putting up with this. This is still happening.
Yeah, it's interesting, and we need to discuss it, and it's being discussed at the league level and the team level. The statement was fairly strong from the Dolphins, and I was not expecting that. We'll explain all of it next here on the...
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month. Brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Score.
Dan Bernstein, Lawrence Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
No, actually, they put handcuffs on me too, and I was like, what is going on? You know, I mean, I didn't understand what the cop was, what the issue was. You know, for him to put handcuffs on me, I felt some kind of way. But, you know, that just goes to show our resilience. So we didn't let that stop us. We just got back in line, got focused again, and went out there and played a good football game. But that definitely was an interesting way to start a ball game.
Absolutely. They put handcuffs on you?
Yes.
So how did that feel? Like, how did you manage your emotions of that moment and then still come out here and do what you did?
Yeah, that was the first. You know, being 17 years in this game, you know, I don't really see a lot of first, but I saw Tyreek, you know, getting apprehended. I just wanted to make sure everything was okay, trying to de-escalate the situation. I was felt some kind of way, put handcuffs on me, and then, you know, I just told myself, like, hey, don't let this get you down. Just get focused, stay locked in, and just do what you know you prepared to do so you go ahead and win a ball game.
Yeah, it's too bad. It's just the whole thing is too bad. This kind of thing should stop, and... I know we keep saying this. Tyreek Hill, Calais Campbell, who were pulled out of their cars by police. You can probably sum up. We've seen the body cam video now. We've seen all the video, and it's pretty scary. And I've never gotten the talk because I have white privilege. And it's something that over time, it's been really important for me to realize. I have never gotten the talk. And I don't know what it's like. So it's weird for me. I just know that when we did have an NFL player try to call attention to stuff like this, he was shouted down and made a pariah.
And yeah, blackballed. Effectively, yes. Blackballed. But it's Tyreek Hill is not really like a perfect victim because he's done a lot of stuff in his professional life and his personal life. Calais Campbell, on the other hand, and I get how if you're a police officer, if 6'7", 325-pound Calais Campbell is like, hey, guys, what's going on, that you might feel threatened. It just seemed like it was one officer who was overzealous.
That's all it takes.
Because even if you're looking at the body cam footage, like the other officers are kind of like a little back, and they're just like kind of making sure that that it doesn't escalate further. But
they're supposed to be trained in de-escalation.
Yes, they are.
That you don't just stand back and hope that that the bad cop isn't bad or isn't having a bad day. They're supposed to be trained to not have these things get to this. That's what's so disappointing.
I always think that it's interesting that whenever we talk about this, and police officers clearly can have bad days, and their job is terrifying. In a lot of situations, it's terrifying. That we see the best trained people to deal with these situations also sometimes act out of pocket, and yet the citizen with no training other than anecdotal evidence or talking to family members or friends or having the talk, they're supposed to know exactly how to react and control themselves and their emotions. Knowing that Calais Campbell, is he won Walter Payton Man of the Year?
I'm pretty sure he's been nominated.
I know he's been
times.
Nominated, but I can't remember if he's won or not. That feels like someone who was trying to do the thing that you won, tried to escalate it. It's also
he won in 2020, by the way.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Right.
And it's also weird because teams will often have a relationship with local police. And in those moments, you wonder if you can tap into that, but you're probably just thinking if you're Calais Campbell and you're driving by and you're like, well, wait, that's Tyreek Hill. That's my teammate. Can I help de-escalate this situation?
Hey, what's going on here kind of thing.
And that doesn't seem to be what happened. And it's scary. And the way I look at it is the police department, I thought, kind of gave you they kind of told you, look, we're investigating this. We're putting this officer on administrative leave immediately. And then when I saw the police union rep, I was like, oh, here it is. It's the same thing of what we saw in Louisville. And that's kind of interesting to me, too. Poor Jeff Darlington, by the way.
He always finds himself at the middle of these incidents.
Yeah.
Wait a second. This is like Angela Lansbury on Murder, She Wrote.
Maybe Jeff Darlington is the one who's doing the crime.
That was my friend's theory about Murder, She Wrote. He said, no.
I think they did have a couple of episodes
It's Murder, She Committed. She always happens to be there when there's a murder. Why hasn't anyone put this together
yet? I'm pretty sure that there were at least two episodes where Jessica Fletcher was the lead suspect in one of those murders. She wrote. But I thought it was interesting watching Mike McDaniel talk about this yesterday. And how much of this do we have, Studs? Like how much of Mike McDaniel discussing it do we have?
A little over a minute.
Okay. Because I think that if you hear like what I heard yesterday, you're going to hear some conflict with Mike McDaniel, and I would like to try and offer some reasons why there is some of that conflict.
It's been hard for me not to find myself more upset the more I think about it. And that's because of, my teammates and trying to put myself in that emotion or in that situation that they've described emotionally. And then knowing more than that, I think the thing that f***ed me up, honestly, to be quite frank, is knowing that I don't know exactly, I don't know what that feels like. I think it's very, very important that that two things should be true. That you know, I think you let due process work and information to be gathered to appropriately project an opinion. However, that I can also, I can't get away from the fact of what I know their experience to be.
So there's a couple things in here, and I appreciated Mike McDaniel not being rehearsed in that moment and him working through this in front of a microphone, which is not an easy thing to do. Mike McDaniel, I mean, it caught a lot of people by surprise that when it was like, oh yeah, the Dolphins hired another black coach and it's Mike McDaniel. Mike McDaniel would be described, I don't know if he would describe himself this way, but he would be described as a white passing black man. He is capable.
Is that still okay to say?
Yes.
Okay.
There are some people, white, I think Halsey calls herself white projecting. Like, a lot of people don't realize that Halsey is black. And she's had to fight people on the internet.
Isaiah Hartenstein.
Same thing. So I wonder if there's a lot of him being like, well, wait, this type of thing hasn't happened to me, either because it just hasn't happened or because he doesn't look like a threat, you know? Mm-hmm. But I appreciate him working through it and saying, yeah, I want to find out more. I want there to be more information. And that's important too, because you don't want to just take the word of Tyreek, because he's not always consistent with his actions.
Well, I think
in with Calais Campbell though and Jonnu Smith, you have two guys that have better reputations than what Tyreek has.
I think it's interesting to see how the NFL reacts itself as a league. And the NFL itself said anything, because usually the NFL is loath to cross big police. That they've always sort of taken the side of, because over the years, the NFL is, and NFL teams, they've had to deal with all of the stereotyping of the players and lots of players who've gotten in trouble and everything that's happened before. But it's going to take a larger effort. And I don't think the day is coming anytime soon when, despite what they say about their agreements with the Players Association, et cetera, that they're ever going to have they'll pay it lip service. They may say, oh, this is something we need to talk about, or we'll have a sponsored summit and have an awareness day about it. But that's as far as it'll get. I don't think the NFL would throw the power of the shield behind trying to do large de-escalation.
That's why I was surprised at the statement by the Dolphins. It reads as such. This morning, wide receiver Tyreek Hill was pulled over for a traffic incident about one block from the stadium and briefly detained by police. He has since been released. Several teammates saw the incident and stopped to offer support. Tyreek and all other players involved have safely arrived at the stadium and will be available for today's game. And then in a second statement, they talked about over-policing, like overly aggressive policing. Mm-hmm. And that surprised me, because ordinarily NFL teams don't go that hard.
Yeah, that's actually fairly impressive for them to do that.
So now we'll see what ends up happening here. But I very much like that there is going to be an investigation and should be an investigation. I like that the body cam footage is out too, because sometimes, oh, magically the body cam wasn't on, or there's a portion of it that was missing. So hopefully this will allow everyone to kind of get to the truth on this.
It's just the irony to me about what we went through and how the lightning rod that Colin Kaepernick was talking about just this. And the way the cultural divide that ensued, and then we all get distracted and we all forget about it, and he's blackballed from his career and exiled, and all he's right now, he's just pointing like, yep.
So here's the full statement, so you can, so you're not taking just my interpretation of it. Statement from the Miami Dolphins, quote, "We are saddened by the overly aggressive and violent conduct directed towards Tyreek Hill, Calais Campbell, and Jonnu Smith by police officers before yesterday's game. It's both maddening and heartbreaking to watch the very people we trust to protect our community use such unnecessary force and hostility towards these players. Yet, it is also a reminder that not every situation like this ends in peace, as we are grateful this one did. What if it wasn't Tyreek Hill is a question that we will carry with resounding impact. We are proud to have a strong and positive relationship with Miami-Dade Police Department and other law enforcement agencies and recognize that the vast majority of officers do serve the community with the utmost character and desire to protect all citizens. However, as is on full display in the videos released tonight, there are some officers who mistake their responsibility and commitment to serve with misguided power. While we condemn Miami-Dade Police Department for taking the right, we commend Miami-Dade Police Department for taking the right and necessary action to quickly release this footage, we also urge them to take equally swift and strong action against the officers who engaged in such despicable behavior. We still stand beside Tyreek and our players as they work to use their platform in this situation to make a positive impact in our community. We have always believed that the game of football holds unique power to bring people together. We remain hopeful that through the collective work of the players, organization, and our community partners, we can create lasting change."
And that's on team letterhead.
That is on team letterhead, put out on the team site, retweeted by the NFL itself, seen 3.7 million times.
Okay. That is about as... I would not have expected that the response would be quite like that. That's about as well done as you can expect, I think.
I agree wholeheartedly. And we will see what the fallout is next. And my thing is, and this is one of my issues. I don't, you know, if the police union down there is so strong in their condemnation of people saying not understanding how hard policing is, I want them to be equally as strong if their internal investigation, if Miami-Dade's Police Department internal investigation levies punishment upon this police officer. I want them to be just as strong when that happens, if it happens.
It's, and not surprisingly, the text line is full of the just comply people.
Well, that's why I bring up the point of citizens are not trained. They're humans acting in the moment. The people who are trained to de-escalate the position oftentimes have escalated the situation. That's the point that I'm trying to get across to you, that you're asking people that are probably the most scared that they've ever been in their life who are not trained. And that's not to say that police officers aren't the most scared in their lives, because they are in some of those situations, but they're at least trained. You're expecting a higher level of action from a person with no training who's scared out of their mind versus
who
doesn't have any power.
And isn't carrying a gun.
That's what I'm
likely.
Saying.
Yes, yes.
Versus a
even
person.
If they were.
Versus a person who has all of the power in the situation, who has been trained, or ideally has been trained for moments like this. Could that have gone differently? If you ask the officer and in an honest moment, would they tell you, you know what? I probably could have handled that differently. That's all. Just asking people to keep stuff like that in mind.
We have High Noon coming up. I want to celebrate the life of a wonderful actor and, by all accounts, a terrific man.
I have a set of statistics that when I read them to you, you're not going to believe, but it 100% happened.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there, out in the street, in front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High Noon?
It is time for your Tuesday High Noon. So what do we talk about? Well, we didn't just talk about the after effects of the injury to Roma Dunze, but just how sort of clumsy the announcement was yesterday when the Bears and Matt Eberflus have said they're trying to clean that stuff up. They're trying to get some of the communications issues fixed, and they already had a hiccup after one game. We talked about Aaron Rodgers now in his career. You're not hearing this wrong. He has 18 touchdowns off of free plays because of a neutral zone infraction for offsides and getting the other team to jump. 18 touchdowns. So we sort of talked through how that works and tried to hold Caleb Williams to this standard. If you're going to be Aaron Rodgers and can do that, that would be awesome. We also talked about bad quarterbacking, how the number of field goals relative to touchdowns is getting back to, this is probably the least efficient passing weekend overall in the NFL since 2006, and the trend lines are not great. They're great if you're a field goal kicker. And I asked Lawrence this trivia question, and he really, I think, outperformed expectations. He nailed it. That Paul Skeens has, it was 150 strikeouts in his first 19 starts.
151.
151, and the only other three to do it, according to the AP Gamer, Kerry Wood, Dwight Gooden, Mark Pryor.
It's high noon. Dan, let me introduce you to Alvin Henderson.
Alvin Henderson.
Alvin Henderson is a running back. He is one of the best running backs in the country out of Elba, Alabama. He is going to go play at Auburn. It's a mistake, but, you know, he's young. Alvin Henderson, this past weekend, in a game against McKenzie, ran for 435 yards and 10 touchdowns.
What?
435 yards and 10 touchdowns.
What?
That broke the Alabama scoring record. 435 yards and 10 touchdowns. His team lost.
Wait, what? How?
His team lost to McKenzie. So young Alvin scored all of the touchdowns for Elba. They lost 80-70. 435 yards, 10 touchdowns, state scoring record, lost the football game.
I'd be so... I actually covered a high
school... How do you have a press conference after that? I don't know. You saw it.
I actually once covered a high school game when I was living in Bloomington. It was Normal Community West, and I can't remember who they were playing, but the final score was like 70-61. The game took so long. And the running back in that game was actually flirting with the state rushing record for a little bit, and he ended up coming up short. But he got pretty close.
435 yards, 10 touchdowns. And they lost.
James Earl Jones has passed away at the age of 93. And when I saw, there's so many pictures that have been circulating of him. He's been old all my life. So I really didn't remember what he looked like as a handsome young man. And I saw him. Who is that? Oh, that's James Earl Jones. And he was always, by all accounts, a very kind, accessible, working actor. And that's how he thought of himself. And he has some quotes about that. Like, you never have some great defining performance. If you have a bad performance, you have another performance. Just keep working. And he did. And of course, we know him as the voice of Darth Vader. The other thing that actors talk about with James Earl Jones, he's a goof. He was silly. And he would lean into some of these things and have fun with it. And he would leave voicemails for friends and their outgoing messages as Darth Vader. Apparently, there's one famous story where he knew a trucker and he picked up a CB and he started freaking out all the truckers on the frequency by talking like Darth Vader. And he would poke fun at himself and be in on the bit, as he was famously with this David Letterman top 10.
Top 10 things that sound cool when spoken by James Earl Jones. Oh, the famous actor, a fine actor, a lovely man. Top 10 things that sound cool when spoken by James Earl Jones. James, nice to see you. Thank you very much.
He was in character.
Yeah, like that guy that was here earlier. Top 10 things that sound cool when spoken by James Earl Jones. Here we go, number 10.
I can't believe it's not butter.
Yeah. Number 9.
Objects in mirror may be closer than they appear.
Number 8.
J-Lo in the house.
J-Lo in the house.
Yeah, that sounded cool.
Number 7.
Click here now for the hottest sex sites on the web.
Number 6.
And the Academy Award for Best Picture goes to... Dude, Where's My Car?
I like that. Number 5.
You're not fully clean until you are zestfully clean. You mean I get all these great funk classics on just one CD or cassette?
Yeah. Number 3.
Number 3.
Well, now, wait a minute. That makes no sense at all. The number 2 cool thing when spoken by James Earl Jones.
Meow, 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 meow.
And the number 1 thing that sounds cool when spoken by James Earl Jones.
Huzzah!
Next up, TJ Edwards makes his first Tuesday appearance with the Bernstein and Holmes Show, talking Bears football on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
it
taken care
forever,
of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.